change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is the Nonprofit Snapcast, recording as always in Strongbox West in Atlanta. Today at the table we have
Monica LaBelle. I'm a program evaluation specialist with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
And I'm Mickey Desai. I run the Nonprofit Snapshot. Here, our guest at the table today is
Patrice Holt, and I'm the founding director of Start to Soar.
What is Start to Soar again?
So Start to Soar is a consulting firm for nonprofits, really helping them do their best work.
If people wanted to find you, how would they find you?
They can actually reach us at www.start2soar.org.
And during the last episode, we were talking about some of the work you've done, some of the challenges you've helped other nonprofits overcome. I wanted to ask you about, how do you help the small to medium-sized nonprofit do the work that they do, even as they are struggling just to make, you know, day-to-day work for them as they grow? So, you know, if you're talking about preserving human capital,
right,
how does a small to medium-sized nonprofit manage those challenges?
One of the things, I actually work with a small to medium-sized nonprofit now, and so really focusing on having really good board management. Small number of dedicated individuals that are very focused on the mission and the vision and want to grow. Also collaborating with other nonprofits that are actually doing the work and understanding who you're serving. And then thirdly, only doing what you can do really, really well. So not okay. Maximizing or extending out your human capital, not stretching yourselves too thin. If you know that you can service 100 individuals really, really well, when you go to your funding, don't promise to serve 250 individuals mediocrely. You know, you want to just really, really service those 100 individuals really, really well. The money will come, and just being patient enough to know that is always one of the most difficult things, because in the nonprofit world, you want to do more. More impact. More people. You want to just do more and do more. Quantity should never come at the expense of the quality of your work.
Well, I mean, I may be speaking out of turn here, but I think that the challenge to business in general is to always grow, right?
Right.
People are always thinking, how can I do this, and then how can I make it as profitable as possible. But with the nonprofit world, you can't do that. It's, from what you're saying, it's actually unwise to do that.
It's unwise to do it before you're ready to.
Mm-hmm.
What I've seen a lot of medium-sized or even larger nonprofits do, they go out and they grow really, really fast, but it's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And you're unable to sustain that long-term. And then 5 years down the road, you're cutting positions because you can't meet your budgets. You're so grant-heavy that when grant funding ends, you're no longer to sustain those programs that you've promised this community that you'll extend. And sometimes that can be devastating, not only to the clients that you're servicing now, but your future clients that you wanted to service later, because the reputation of your nonprofit has been tarnished.
It sounds like you've seen this before.
I have. I've been personally involved in it. So probably about, I guess, 7 or 8 years ago, the Salvation Army Boys and Girls Clubs, during the turn, you know, the economic downturn,
mm-hmm.
we had to actually close a Boys and Girls Club. So that affected about 400 young people. It affected about 200 families, devastated an entire community because there was no after-school programming for those students anymore. It affected the school and what the school could provide. It affected the staff members because they had trauma worrying about the safety and well-being of those young people. And it was really just about not being able to sustain. So we were a very grant-heavy organization at the time, and then really having to restructure our model to be very funded through individual gifts, foundation gifts, going back to actually do a mission planning study. Hey, are we where we were supposed to be? Are we servicing the communities that, one, need us most, but also, are we doing the best job in those communities, and is there another nonprofit that could do it better than us? And it's a hard question to ask.
Yes.
You know, it's a very hard pill to swallow, but I think it is a moral dilemma that you need to undertake when you're in the nonprofit world, because you are doing this work to better our communities. And so it's not for ego. So sometimes that really does have to be checked first.
And it takes a little bit of humility to recognize somebody else might be better equipped to do it than you.
Absolutely. And at the time, you know, Boys and Girls Club of Metro Atlanta, they actually had two other Boys and Girls Clubs that were in the vicinity that could actually take on the extra space. The students had to be split into two separate locations, but they could take it on, and they were willing to take it on as well. And they've done a great job. Like, I just went to some of the graduations of those students last spring, so those students are thriving. You know, and it wasn't a competition, and that's what we had to really realize. This is really a collaborative effort. All of us have the exact same goal, to make sure that these kids are thriving when they graduate.
You've talked about encouraging organizations to cooperate with each other. How do you do that?
First, it's a phone call, not an email. So it's a phone call and maybe a coffee, really having a conversation. A lot of times I've seen it doesn't really work sometimes at first on the executive director level, that maybe it needs to be a mid-management level staff person who's managing maybe a particular branch in the community. And it can start off as a collaborative special event. And,
oh, that's interesting.
You know, just say, hey, can we collaborate on this? Can we provide this service to the community together on this Saturday? I can use the space. I have the space, but can we use your staff? Or I have these experts that could come and take blood pressures. Do you have the clients that we could serve? And so really just coming and saying, hey, this is what I want to offer you, is the easiest way to get people to really listen to what you're doing without demands. Without any pretense, without saying that I'm the expert in this. I would always have that sometimes, especially when we went into the school system. You know, our teachers or our principals or our other administrators, we're the experts on kids. Like, you're not telling us, you know. Mm-hmm. And we would always have to say, we just want to help you do your job. What can we do to help you get to your end goal? That conversation always is much better than a finger pointing one.
Well, I don't know if Monica's seen any of this. I'm sure you've seen some of this, where it's easy to walk into a nonprofit's management structure and say you should be collaborating with other entities. I always think those conversations break down when it comes time to actually pay for whatever service is being rendered. So I think what you've just said is really remarkable in terms of coming up with imaginative ways to do collaborations that don't require capital.
And I also really encourage our partners and the nonprofits that I work with, don't do joint grants at first. Like, I would really wait until you see.
Yeah.
One, you need to see the organizational structure of that organization. You also need to really make sure that the fidelity of that organization is respected in the grant funding world. And so that takes time, and you have to build that relationship just with anything else. Your friendships, your romantic relationships, you really have to take your time to investigate how that's going to be.
Are you saying I need to investigate my romantic relationships?
You should definitely investigate your romantic relationships.
Does this require a third party? A consultant?
It is so, that is so funny, because we always joke that my husband married into this work too. He's an IT person. But everybody says, he's at everything. Well, I investigated whether or not he was going to be able to handle this nonprofit world too. But so, and he has. Like, you die out of it.
That's fantastic. It's true.
So, but yeah, when you investigate and you get to see the characteristics of that organization, do they have high staff turnover? And if they do, are you going to be able to continue those special events? If you go into a grant and you're providing specific services, is your organization going to have to take on more of a heavy lift because the other organization does not have the staffing, or they don't have, they haven't managed their funding well enough to complete some of those tasks that they need to complete? So, you know, just really investigating that time and taking that time. There's nothing wrong with developing, taking it slow and developing the relationship.
As a consultant, you character yourself and empower other to investigate.
Definitely empower other people to investigate. So a lot of my job is to ask questions in meetings to get people to talk to each other and give an idea to an executive director or a mid-level manager. Give them the idea and give them the resources and help them maybe implement those, but definitely not do the thinking or the implementing for them, mm-hmm. you know. And because I do, in turn, want them to make it their own, because that's the only way they're going to take ownership and it's going to be a passion project for them. It's just like with my husband. You should really repaint the dining room. This was all your idea, honey. It's really like that. And no trickery, really. But really just making sure that people are going to take ownership of it. Because if it's not a good idea and it really doesn't work for them day to day, they're not going to keep up with it anyway. So it would just be wasted. Wasted time, wasted effort, wasted money. And I'm really, because I come from a nonprofit world, I'm very efficient on everything we do. Time is money, so let's be very efficient with what we've decided to do to make changes. And not everything needs to be changed.
True.
What else should we talk about before we wrap things up today?
Really, just about maybe the landscape of Atlanta right now.
Oh, yeah.
We have what we anticipate is a large influx of funding that is coming up. But I would really like and encourage nonprofits to look at your boards, mm-hmm. if they are aging. So really look at some of the next generation of your board members, their children, their grandchildren, and getting them involved in maybe a junior board so that you have a next generation of board members, a next generation of donors and foundation level professionals that you can endear to your organization so that funding does become strategic. And it's not always about funding, but maybe support. And word of mouth, so that their companies that they're running say, hey, if I'm going to send my employees out for a day to do volunteer work, I would want them to go and volunteer with this particular organization. And that is how you build and you grow your organization. That is how your funding becomes sustainable.
So I'm serving on a board of directors right now that's sort of wrestling with the same issue. It's easy to find people who are passionate about the work that nonprofit does. Yeah. It's hard to find younger folks who can come out to play.
Right.
How do you suggest an organization, a nonprofit, find those younger people?
Yeah. It needs to be fun.
Yeah.
And you need a young person to go and do the finding. So and make sure that you're using those platforms to do so. Young people now are really, really, they're social entrepreneurs. So all of their time that they invest, they want to make sure that they're investing in something that's going to be profitable, not necessarily monetarily wise, but, mm-hmm. you know, they're looking at, hey, is this going to benefit my community? When I do decide to raise a family, am I going to have more options to raise my family well? And then also on the corporate level, corporations that are willing to give a hand up to those employees that volunteer or invest their time, that is really the game changer with young people right now. So they want to be recognized for their service. And so doing that in a way that partners with a corporation, I think is probably like the best way to do it, or the most successful way I've seen it. So doing junior boards where they can actually mentor with someone like
yep.
you.
Yep.
And they get to get all of this skill set without having to go back and pay for it, you know, and they get to be trained on how to be on a board and get recognized for doing that through their organization is a great way to endear them and to get them acclimated.
That's a fantastic idea. Anything else, Monica?
Thank you so much for inviting me and giving me just my snapshot on the nonprofit world.
Patrice, I can't thank you enough for joining us. This has been good. I hope we can do this again sometime.
Absolutely.
One more time, let's tell our audience how people can find you.
Yes, so you can just reach out to us on Start to Soar, and that's with the number 2.org. And we're also on all social media platforms.
Fantastic. Thanks again for joining us. And thanks to our listeners for joining us. We look forward to catching you next week at our regularly appointed time. In the meantime, we hope you're all doing well. Have a great day.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.